To the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I know we've been in Revelation in our Bible study over the last few weeks, but the other day when I was studying for last Wednesday night, first of the last week, something got to rumbling in my mind and kept rumbling all week. So we're going to be talking a little bit today about God's blueprint. God's blueprint. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So let's not forget that verse. Remember that verse. That's an important verse in the Bible. Now, getting back to about God's blueprint. When I first started our ministry many years ago on the radio, and the first equipment that I purchased was what they called a reel-to-reel recorder, tape recorder. We had several of them years ago in our ministry. And the manual that came with the recorders in the back of it was what they called a schematic. That schematic showed all the circuits and all the workings of that recorder. And a lot of time when I took it to the repair shop, they wanted to see that schematic. When we built this church, an architect drew up the plans for it. And he put down everything that would make this church what it is. That's the same thing with an automobile. It's already drawn out and pictured before they're ever made. God has given us his word. Now, God knew what everything was going to be before he ever made anything. He knew what it was going to be like. But when Adam was made, Adam didn't know a thing what was going to go on down through the ages. But the author, the owner, he knew everything. He knew all the details. He even knew you'd be here today. So we're going to be talking a little bit about God's blueprint and the fact that this Bible, this is God's word, folks. God has outlined in this book that you have. Everybody got a Bible today? God has outlined in this book all that's going to be going on. He wants us to know about. Everything we need to know about is listed in this book. Now, he's not going to fill in all the details. He made man, but he didn't say your eyes would be blue or brown, did he? He made man, but I don't believe I've ever read where he said you were going to have five fingers and five toes or whatever. He didn't fill in the details, did he? But he's given us an outline of his plan of what he was going to do. And right now, you know what? We've come almost to the end of this book. We're almost to the end of the book, folks. Look where we've come from, way over here, to way over here. We're into Revelation. We're into chapter 3 of Revelation chronologically. There's not a whole lot left to go. And, of course, right now, a lot of doomsday preachers are talking about this eclipse and it's the end of the age. Well, I believe I read somewhere that God said no man don't know. I believe I read that. Amen? So when you find someone specifically thinking for real this is it, it's not it. Because man's not going to know. Man's not going to know. But it could be. It could happen. But man didn't know that. So I want you to understand this book is God's outline of his entire plan. And right now, chronologically, we are in chapter 3. And we're in the very end of chapter 3, I believe, of God's outline. And just about all that's left now is the 7-year tribulation. And then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth made. In the first 3 chapters of the book of Genesis, God tells us how he made this world and man and woman. In the first 3 chapters, God starts out with only God. There was not even a firmament or space. There was not anything but God. And I can't comprehend that, and I don't think you can either, that there is nothing but God. Where was he at? Wherever God was at. Right? That's where he was at. But there was not anything. And there was no place to go. But God was there, Brother Chavis. He was there. But there weren't nowhere everywhere to be. Except where he was at. Amen. So God, the Bible tells us that God made everything out of nothing. We have an amazing God, folks, that has redeemed us from our sin. We just don't realize what an awesome God our God is, folks, that we're going to get to live with forever, folks. Folks, we need to raise the thermostat up a little bit in our hearts and get a little bit excited about who our God is, who our Heavenly Father is, and where we're going to go spend eternity at. Yes, God made this world out of nothing. And when he had made the earth, he took a handful of dirt and made a man. And then the scriptures, scholars say, seem to say that God, it looks like God breathed, bent over and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And he become a living soul. Made in the image of his maker. You see how important you are? You're made in your creator's image. Not even the angels are like that. And God did this for a reason. Why would God go through all what's gone on down through the ages? Because he wants a people to get to know him. Amen. For who he is. Amen. And if he didn't do that, no one would know how good he is. They'd know how glorious he is. They would not know how wonderful and how intelligent he is, folks. If God didn't have intelligent creatures to learn about him, God would just be there all by himself. Now, he wouldn't be lonesome. He never has been lonesome. But God wanted to share himself with intelligent creatures. So look at me. He made you. Amen. You're an intelligent creature. And he's allowed you a will. You can accept him and obey him or reject him. That's up to you. He's not going to force you. Now, he might put the pressure on you to make you realize the seriousness of the situation because he loves you. Amen? He loves you. He loves you more than you think or can imagine. He loves you more than anyone in this world has ever loved you or will ever love you. And only the cross can explain it better than I can. In Genesis chapter 6, after God had made the world and got man here, he told man to reproduce. The world began to fill up with people. And what happened? The first couple disobeyed God by their will. By their will. They chose to disobey what God said to do. And as a result, they became and their offspring became sinful creatures who did not follow after the Lord but went away from the Lord. And as a result, the earth began to be filled with people who disobeyed God and were wicked and evil. And he got down to the point after about 1,500 to 1,600 years after Adam and Eve's creation, it got so wicked and evil that every imagination of the hearts of men was evil. And so corrupt and so violent that God determined, I'm going to destroy my creation. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. And that one man would, what would we say? Salvaged the human race. Him and his three sons and their wives. God told to build an ark. We know the story. And it took 120 years. They didn't have a skill saw. They didn't have any modern tools. What a wonder that an ark as large as that ark was, built by hands of Noah and his three sons. But it was done. When God tells you to do something, you can do it. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
You can get it done. If God tells you to do it, you can get it done. Yes. Noah got it done. And of course, we know the story. Then in Genesis chapter 10, some few hundred years later, the earth was filling up with people again. And what do people decide to do? Well, we're just going to build us a tower that reaches to heaven. Well, God didn't like their plans. So what does God do? God decides to confuse their language. They couldn't speak the same language anymore. And this family, they began to speak a language that these over here couldn't understand. And these, others couldn't understand them. And directly, the families began to break apart. And people went to what we know now as China. Some went to what we know now as Russia. Some went down into Africa. Some came across to Canada. to the Americas, to South America, to the islands, because God confused their language, and God wanted people to be all over the earth, and the only way to do that was to confuse their language. And so people departed. Of course, Shem, Noah's son, he was in the godly line, and they retained a knowledge of God in the world. In Genesis chapter 12, then, God told Abraham, a man by the name of Abram originally, God told him, we know him as Abraham, leave your country. He lived down in Ur of the Chaldeans. And God told him to leave his country and go to a land that he would show him and give him. Abraham believed what God said. I tell you what, now that took a lot of faith, folks, to just get up and leave. And his wife, think about that dear wife of his, a beautiful woman, scriptures tells us, but she obeyed her husband. Hey, wife, today, what if the Lord's told your husband, I want you to go to Africa and be a missionary. Would you like to go along with him? Freely? A lot of wives do. You know, it blesses me to look at our missionaries and see how their wives just support their husbands. That's a blessing to me. You know, I know through the years, ministers, their wives, they don't work with their husband preachers. In fact, when I first started in the ministry, I knew a guy that, in fact, I even went to talk to him one time. But his wife was not supportive like she should have been. And it really disturbed him. I know another guy. His wife wouldn't even go to church with him. He was a pastor. I've known quite a few like that down through the years. It's hurtful, painful. But men, they keep doing what God called them to do. That's what we got to do, folks. All of us supposed to do what God calls us to do. That is to trust Him, love Him, and serve Him as His people. From Abraham would come Isaac. And from Isaac, Jacob, and from Jacob would come the 12 tribes of Israel. In God's outline, He gives us in the Bible. And from the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes, would come Moses, who God used to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It was also Moses God used to give the moral law we know as the Ten Commandments, and also the Mosaic law. That's found in the first five books of the Bible. What a tremendous responsibility Moses had, leading two or three or more million people out in the wilderness for 40 years. That must have been quite a job when they didn't even have a megaphone, much less a cell phone. And the people out there for 40 years wearing the same clothes and shoes for 40 years. For 40 years eating the same food, manna's angel food. You know, I think about that. I tell you what, after two times I want something different. I bet you're like that too. Oh, we had this last night, I want something different today, right? Weren't you like that? Well, they had angel food for 40 years. It was at Mount Sinai that God established the Jews as His nation of people about 1,400 years before Jesus came. It's all outlined in the Bible, God's program. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and beginning at verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. This is one of the great failures today. People don't fear God. If people knew how, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. People just don't know what danger they're walking on when they don't fear God. That thou keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son in all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Obeying God prolongs your life on earth. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that thou may increase mightily as the Lord thy Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In other words, this is what God told Israel, his people that he chose out of all the peoples. And God chose a people out to be a testimony, to share with the peoples that didn't know God, that were living in paganism and heathenism. People that didn't know God, that God wanted them to know him, because God loved all these people. Now, it's hard for you and for me maybe to understand how God could love all these wicked, evil people, but he does. He does. What an awesome God he is. Because, you see, God looks beyond the people's condition as being evil and sinful. He sees what caused them to be like that. He sees that's what sin has done to his creation. And God hates that, but he loves people. Isn't that awesome? For 1,400 years the Jews lived under the Mosaic law, and no one kept it. 1,400 years, and not even Moses, the lawgiver, didn't even keep it. But it was given for a purpose. It was given to teach the Hebrew people that they needed a Savior, that living and doing good won't save you. And a lot of people to this 21st century believe, if I live a good moral life, God will surely let me go to heaven, and he won't. He's not, because we're a sinner to start with. We're already condemned to start with. And salvation is a free gift if you accept it from the one that died for you to pay for your sin. So when their enemies defeated them and enslaved them, God sent prophets to encourage his people that one day they would return to their land that God had given to them. God promised his people through the Old Testament prophets there was going to come a Messiah one day. In fact, even going back to Genesis 3:15, that promise is initially made there to Adam and to Eve. But God's people have kept worshiping false gods, the Israelite people. Even though the prophets of God came and ministered to them. Then when their Messiah finally came, that God sent to them, what did they do? They rejected him. And the Bible says, crucified him. Turn to Matthew 27. In Matthew chapter 27, we need to be reminded of what the Jews did to their Messiah. He was their Messiah, by the way, folks. He really was. They just didn't understand what the Bible said. You know, you can want something so hard that you miss what God is saying. Amen. You can't make God do what you want, folks. Man can't make God do what they want. God does what he wants, folks. Amen? In Matthew 27, beginning at verse 26, then release he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, said, "Hail, King of the Jews," making fun of our Savior. And they put spit on him. They took a reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Their Messiah, their Savior, they rejected. The kingdom was postponed that was promised to them. And then Pentecost came 50 days later, and the church age began and has continued there to 2,000 years, as outlined in this book. In the first century, the New Testament was being written to guide us and inform us of God's plan till the return of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those epistles. Finally, the book of Revelation to show the last days that God has for this planet, for this world, and for people. Today, much of the church is like the Jews of the Old Testament. Don't you agree? How the Jews of the Old Testament disobeyed the Lord? Look at the modern church today. I was going down 2nd Street yesterday, and here, and there, and here, and there. Little cubby holes, Church of the Living Water, Church of the Rock, or Church of this, or the Church of that. Churches everywhere of every descript. I don't know whether they're really churches or no. People can't get along together. We believe the Bible, the Word of God, as the modern church, but we fail to live by it. Like my neighbor. He believes in the Bible. Does he read it? Hardly ever. You don't see no sign of it. I mean, he don't even see the Bible, is what I'm saying. The biggest problem I see today is the failure of the church to be the church we're supposed to be. Just like Israel was not the people they were supposed to be for God. Just like the Jewish nation failed to be obedient to God, the world has entered into the church. Even with the explicit warning that was given, and turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This warning was given to the church because God knows how subject we are to wander away from what we should be doing. 1 John 2, beginning at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That passage is simply saying this. It's saying that we shouldn't be living for the things this world offers. Yes, we need certain things to survive. He's not talking about that. But our life's goal is not to live by this world's standards. Jesus is our standard. Amen? He's the one we're to live for. And God has promised to take care of our needs. And he will. Then God tells us of the world after the church is to be removed by the rapture. You know, folks, there's another world coming. There's another world coming. The book of Revelation and other scriptures tell us of a coming Antichrist and a false prophet who's going to deceive this present world and take over the world leadership one day. And folks, with all the technology that we have today in this world, that learned men has come up with, I hear about our cars, our appliances, that we can be listened in on by them. By Big Brother, we're being monitored. With all that went on this past week, with that truck being driven into that crowd over in Spain, how time it happened, cameras were there for us to see it way over here. Folks, we got to be getting close to the time when ways to be in, to monitor people, and it's, and every day that goes by, it gets even better. Every day gets a little bit better. Surely the Lord's got to come. He's going to come. Once the Antichrist has gained power, the 7 years of prophesied tribulation will begin, and it'll finally end with the wrath of God coming down with 21 judgments, called the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. And in our study in Revelation, we're in the last of the trumpet judgments starting this coming Wednesday night. And boy, we've seen some awful things that God has allowed to come on the earth. And over half of the world's population is killed by that time. Think about nearly 7 billion people, that half of them being killed in a 3.5 year span. 3.5 billion people being killed. Our Revel's funeral home won't be able to take care of them, folks. 2 Peter, turn there with me right quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. So at the end of this 7 year tribulation, Jesus is going to return with all of his saints to destroy any remaining enemies and set up his 1,000 year reign. Now it's no wonder the Apostle Peter wrote 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down at verse 10. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, suddenly, unannounced, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, what do you think old feeble man's going to do when the heavens start passing away? And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and also all the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, it wouldn't hurt to underline that sentence in your Bible. That would be a good verse to underline. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Folks, that's going to be awful. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Boy, that's going to be something, ain't it? When a new heaven and a new earth, and there's no more hurt or pain or death or devil. Amen? Boy, that's going to be something, isn't it? Well, listen, folks, if God can make this first heaven and earth out of nothing, he ain't going to have no trouble making the next one. Amen? He ain't going to strain. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, Peter said. In this amazing book of the Bible, God has given us a preview of the ages and what is to come. Only God could tell his story so accurately, because he knows the beginning and the end. One day there will be no more devil, no demons, no wicked and evil men. Sin and death will forever be banished. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Think about that. This present heaven and earth is going to pass away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Think about God going to live with us, and us with God, Brother Chavis. Folks, think about it. Living with our Creator. And we're going to be welcomed and loved and desired. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell with them, and we shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Wouldn't it be nice to go to a place where there's no one crying, no one hurting, no one grieving? It won't even be remembered there, because that's going to pass. We won't even remember this former life there. Only God could do that. Erase our memory bank. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. Listen to this. Listen to this, folks. For these words are true and faithful. And Jesus said in John 17:17, in his high priestly prayer, thy word is true. And God just said it here. These words are true, what I just said about God going to be our God. We're going to be his people. Why would anybody want to miss this, folks? I'm just giving you just a little preview of what the Bible, how it's come along down through history. The sin debt has already been paid, and everyone and anyone who wants to go to this place to live one day can go by repenting of their sin and asking Jesus to be their Savior is free. Nothing required except acknowledge you need this salvation. You need this Savior. God has given us this outline or blueprint of this program for this world, of his program for this world. He has not given us all the details of everything that will go on. I have a lot of questions that I don't understand. And God has not told me and given me the answers. Maybe one day he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. It might not even matter then. But he's given me the outline of what's going to transpire. The Bible, the most valuable and important book, tells us of God's love, mercy, and grace to this rebellious human family. You don't know anything any more valuable than this book. Amen. There's nothing in this world. Amen. The whole world is not as valuable as this book. Let me tell you something, and don't you forget. You can forget everything I said, but please don't. But don't forget this. God can destroy this world. He can banish it. But this book won't ever be destroyed. It's forever settled. Amen? This is the most valuable thing there's ever been. It's the word of the eternal God. It's true. Thy word is true, Jesus said. You can put all your confidence in what this book says. And it'll change your life. The wisest person in the world is the person that completely yields himself to follow this book. The Bible tells us you can love God or you can ignore him. And the consequences of doing so will be awful if you ignore him. The last invitation in the Bible, turn to the last invitation, because when God gives us this outline in his word, at the very end of it, he gives us, because he loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be with him forever. And so he gives us one last invitation, inviting people to accept his son who's paid for all of their sin. In Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride is the church. We are preaching every way we can. Sinners, come to the Savior. We, the church, that's our message. Come, trust Christ. Be saved. Be forgiven of your sin. Have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and live forever in the presence of a loving, eternal God. You'll never regret it. Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. You want to be saved? Well, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He won't hurt you. He won't hurt you. He'll bless you. And whosoever will, listen to that, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. It's free. Whoever wants it can receive it by faith, by believing. And he gives enough faith to believe. It's up to your will. Will you believe? And I can't tell you any better. I wish I could. Loving God, speak to hearts. Help people to appreciate their Bibles more. Help people to realize what a valuable book that is. It's more precious than diamonds or gold or silver or any jewels or even the world itself. It's the only book that'll tell you how to miss hell and go to heaven. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for letting me try to preach it today, Lord. May it bless our people here and encourage and challenge. and I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts this morning. May you realize how good God is to you, how much you're loved of God. You can come this morning, talk to the Lord, your God.